The Guardian.
Hello, I'm Catherine Shaw, and before we hear the show, we just wanted to point you in the direction of our sponsor, Squarespace. For more information on building your own beautiful websites, go to squarespace.com. Now on with the show.
Hello and welcome to today's edition of The Daily, the podcast from the Guardian film team. My name is Benjamin Lee and it's Thursday, February 25th. Joining me today to talk about the latest film news is Henry Barnes. Now Henry, a site called VIP Concierge has been selling tickets for all the big post-Oscars parties. How much would you pay to attend Elton John's bash?
Elton John would just have me for free, I think. I'm a lot of fun at a post-Oscars party. At no other time am I fun. Just but at a post-Oscars party, for Elton John. I am fun, yeah.
Well, thanks for asking, but they actually cost $6,000 each.
That's a lot of money.
It is a lot.
It's going to charity, right? For Elton?
No. Not if you're paying them from this illegal site, but anyway.
I'm glad we gave them the publicity.
Right. Now, we're just 3 days away from this year's awards, and stats fans have been working out some interesting facts about the year's nominees. First up, it's been calculated that Jennifer Lawrence is the year's best paid nominee, having made $52 million between June 2014 and June 2015. The star, who is nominated for a performance in Joy, has seen her stock rise thanks to her work in the Hunger Games trilogy, which led to her much reported $20 million paycheck for the upcoming sci-fi film Passengers. Next in line is DiCaprio with $29 million and Matt Damon with $25 million. But no actor comes close to the year's highest paid actor, Downey Jr., who came away with $80 million. Now, while Lawrence is probably not going to win on a Sunday, she does appear to be the smartest actor at the moment when it comes to mixing Oscar-friendly material and blockbuster fare. And if you look at the other nominees like Brie Larson, who started out making indies, she's aiming for a similar career with a role in the King Kong reboot, and Alicia Vikander is also cropping up in the new Jason Bourne film. Now this week also has seen a study that shows women are most likely to win Oscars for playing wives. Taking these two stats together, Henry, do you think that given the inequality in pay still and also size of roles for women, they have to be more aware of making this dual career work?
Yeah, I think every actor does to an extent, though, of whatever gender. But I think you're right that Jennifer Lawrence is a great example of that. Is she getting, I mean, it's $20 million she's getting for Passengers, which is Fox's new one. I believe it's Fox.
Sony, sorry.
But that's a big gamble for Sony, right? I mean, it's a big budget film. It's got Chris Pratt in it and J-Law as a huge star, but it's kind of an arty prospect. And they've said basically they have to pay Jennifer Lawrence that money now. So that's canny from her. I do wonder whether it limits her career prospects a bit going forward, in that if that's her price tag now, does that make it more difficult for indie filmmakers who might have an interesting part to get to her and talk to her about maybe being in her thing without paying the price mark for Jennifer Lawrence? But I mean, that's something that every actor is going to experience, I guess. Whether it's more difficult for women, yeah, it probably is, and Alicia Vikander's probably feeling the pinch a bit and has to do roles in the Bourne franchise. But you can do it with class, and Jennifer Lawrence is the person who's shown that that's possible, I think.
You can do, but I do feel like, I mean, her character in The Hunger Games was a real kind of anomaly. I mean, thinking back to when great actors have taken on roles in franchise films, I remember the Bourne legacy was bad for a lot of reasons, but Rachel Weisz had one of the most thankless, like, sort of reactive roles, I think, for a really talented actor. And, you know, there was a piece that I wrote last week about a lot of Oscar-nominated actresses like Cate Blanchett, like Toni Collette, like Charlize Theron are taking what look like quite thankless roles in franchise films, and they're still not really getting the same meat that their male counterparts do.
Yeah, that's true, but then you have to remember that an awful lot of roles in franchise films are thankless across genders, and this is the world we're operating in now, isn't it? It's like we are in franchise cinema mode. There are spin-offs, there are sequels, there are prequels. Hollywood loves a reboot because it's easy, it's low risk, and that it will impact on actors. It will mean that they do have to take parts in these bigger blockbuster franchises, and often those parts aren't going to be great and interesting. I think for all their faults, the Marvel films do offer women half decent roles often. They should probably offer them a few more, and they probably will. Whether that's great for cinema goers in terms of getting anything new out of the cinema experience, I don't think it is particularly, but it presumably means actors at least have a kind of standby that they can fall back on with those kind of movies.
I want to talk about your feelings, Henry.
Okay.
I'm going to give you some quick pieces of news, and I want you to tell me how you feel about each one. Okay. First, after impressing in Creed, Michael B. Jordan is set to start in yet another remake of The Thomas Crown Affair.
I feel joyous about
one. Yeah. That could work, actually, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like The Thomas Crown Affair one with Pierce Brosnan. That remake was not bad. I think Michael B. Jordan has got the charm, and he's suave enough to carry it off.
Sarah Michelle Gellar is reprising her Cruel Intentions role in a new TV reboot.
Poor Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yeah, she had a tough time, didn't she?
That makes me feel downhearted.
An Amy Winehouse joke was reportedly taken out of an early draft of the Deadpool script.
That makes me feel uncertain, Ben. Was it funny?
No.
Okay, well then it should have been taken out.
Is anything about Deadpool? Chris Rock has said that he only got the Oscars job because Ellen said no.
Ah, that makes me feel curious. I'd like to know if that's true.
I think it probably is.
Maybe.
And Anthony Mackie is predicting that Captain America Civil War will be nominated for Best Picture at next year's Oscars.
That makes me laugh. Because it's not true. That's like Vin Diesel saying that Fast and Furious should get the Best Picture Oscar.
Thing is, though, Vin Diesel's going to be in Ang Lee's next film, Billy Lynn's Halftime War, is it called?
Yeah.
And he's got quite a big role in that, so maybe he could finally get that nomination.
Maybe he'll finally get that Oscar. What should we do when Vin Diesel gets his Oscar?
He's not that bad, though.
I think he's good.
When he started out doing kind of small, Boiler Room's a good film.
I think we should have to wear some sort of silly hat all year long when Vin Diesel wins his Oscar.
Cover ourselves in Diesel.
Yeah.
Now, Henry, it's almost a freaking weekend, and if cinema goers are to have them some fun, what film should they go and see?
I like the R. Kelly reference, that's good. This week is another kind of bleak week at the cinema. You've got Grimsby coming out, which is Sacha Baron Cohen's new one. It doesn't really make any broader point about anything in the world other than the fact that dick jokes are funny and people are
I
funny.
I love those.
So there you go. There's one ticket sold anyway. I do like Sacha Baron Cohen. I think that he's on the slide a little bit in that he's better at doing the kind of reactive stuff to the real world, the character-driven stuff like Borat and Bruno to an extent, and this is just a kind of 90s-ish, laddish comedy about working-class people having a lot of heart, but that's not a particularly interesting point to make. Better is King Jack, which is set in small-town America. It's about a young boy who's ferociously bullied by the local youths and why that happens and how he deals with it. And it's very, very... came out of Sundance Institute. It's extremely Sundance. It couldn't be much more Sundance if it tried. But it has got heart and leaves you leave the cinema with a sense of optimism and a glow to you, which is what I go to the cinema for.
Sounds good. Now, with the Oscars on Sunday, there's many films that are already available on streaming services or to rent or at the cinema. And other than kind of the big, obvious films to go and catch up on, what else would you recommend that's kind of a smaller film, perhaps, for someone to see?
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't seen The Look of Silence yet, which is Joshua Oppenheimer's sequel to The Act of Killing, again, about the Indonesian genocide, you have to go and see that film or catch that film. It's just astonishing, the story that he manages to get out of these people. It's a brutal, desperate story that he told with such style across two films. I would recommend watching those two films back to back. I get the sense that he's not going to win the Oscar. I think Amy Asif Kapadia's film, which is also great, is going to win because it's got a lot more heart and it's easier to watch. And I think the Academy will go for that one. And that'll be the second time that Oppenheimer's been denied an Oscar for this, if you want to call it a franchise, I guess you could, this franchise of films about the Indonesian genocide. And they're just extraordinary, two of the best films of the last 5 years. And he should win an Oscar, even if he's not going to.
I can't see him having like a really angry reaction on camera if he doesn't win. I feel him being quite calm and mature about it.
Do you know what? I don't think he actually went to the last one he was nominated for. And I wonder if he goes again. He's a very still, calm person. He doesn't like partying very much. And he doesn't really leave Copenhagen much, where he's based, as far as I understand it. So I don't think he's in it for the glory of awards. And that just makes me like him even more, actually.
Now, you can check out theguardian.com/film for the latest film news, features and reviews. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. You can also subscribe to the dailies on iTunes. Today, you can try to fight back the tears while watching the final official film show and read a whole bunch of Oscars-related content, such as Peter Bradshaw's predictions and an Oscars bingo card. See you tomorrow for an Oscars special, and I'm going to leave you with a quote from that wacky old klutz Jennifer Lawrence. As soon as somebody farts around me, I think it's hilarious. This is something my brothers did that now the boys at work are obsessed with. You cup it, and then you throw it in someone's face and say, take a bite out of that cheeseburger.
You're more than your day job. You know that. If you're interested in starting your own side gig, then check out the Side Hustle series from Guardian Labs and theguardian.com/sidehustle. Helpful videos, articles, and a podcast, all brought to you by Squarespace. When you're ready to build your website for your side hustle, head to squarespace.com. Their sites look professionally designed, regardless of skill level, no coding required. You build your website with these intuitive, easy-to-use tools. And you get a free domain name if you sign up for a year. So start your free trial site today. Go to squarespace.com. Squarespace. Build it beautiful.
For more great downloads, go to guardian.co.uk/audio.